Thanks for joining us on the NRT Now podcast, part of the largest Christian music site online, newreleasetoday.com. Sit back and relax as we chat with your favorite artists, introduce you to new artists, and more. Now here's your host, Jake.
So we're here with Ellie Holcomb, which it was Ellie and Drew Holcomb for a while, with Drew and the, what was the name of the band, Ellie?
Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors.
That's right. See, that's where I first heard of you. I heard of you as, you know, Drew and Ellie, and then now there's just Ellie Holcomb. I mean, I'm not sure what he did to make you mad that you had to go off and do your own thing, but...
No, I just kept writing songs about Jesus. And he was like, maybe I feel, I was like, I would try to write for his band. And I'm like, oh, I wrote another one about the Lord. He's like, I think you should just do that. Go for it, babe. And so I accidentally started another music career and I didn't even know that I was going to do it, but I love it so much.
Which is amazing. And something that I had also read was that when you started having kids, you know, the whole Drew Holcomb band, that took a little bit too much time. And then you have the kids that take a bunch of time and, you know.
No, that's exactly right. I actually quit the band. So we took our little girl. I mean, we've got three kids now. Took Emmy Lou, our first little girl, on the road at 2 weeks old. By the time she was 6 months, she'd been to 32 states in Canada. Oh, wow. And this is not on a bus. This is like in a van, in a conversion van. So when she turned one and was walking, I was like, I cannot keep this girl in a car seat for 7 hours a day. And so really big step of faith, but left the band to go take her home. Meanwhile, had started writing all these songs. I thought I was just going to be a writer and then kind of accidentally launch this other music career. So now we're just one big, happy traveling family. The kids come with us on the road sometimes. Sometimes it's Drew and I together. Sometimes we're apart. It's crazy, but it's fun.
Let's talk about just traveling with kids. My wife loves road trips. It drives me bananas.
Love it.
And we have, well, we've been doing this since my 10-year-old has been 4, 5, 6, I think is when we really started doing this a lot. So we moved down to Texas in 2012, and home is in the middle of Wyoming. So it's about an 18-hour road trip to go home.
Wow. Okay.
See, I'm a flyer. Like, I'm just like, get me there, like, now. Like, 2 hours, we're good. Set. My wife loves the whole road trip, and just keeping the kids in the car for that long, oh my gosh,
it is no joke. It's no joke. It's really not. And you have to have all the snacks. We definitely lean on movies sometimes, all the games, toys. I mean, it's intense, but it's also really fun. You make a lot of good memories on the road.
Well, when we were kids traveling, like, none of this junk that we have now, the iPads, the DVD players, were never there.
Not a thing. We actually would go down to Texas from Tennessee when I was a kid, and my dad would like duct tape a tiny TV to a cooler in the middle of the two driver and passenger seat, and then duct tape the VCR on top of it so we could watch movies as a kid, because it's like it took us 18 hours to get down to where his family's from in Texas. So 5 kids, it was wild.
I was trying not to date us that much, but you busted out the VCR reference. So I was going to just, I mean, that's been a while. Like, I wasn't going to try and go there. That's all on you.
I'm fine. I'm a child of the 80s. I loved growing up during that time. But yeah, we definitely did VCRs back then.
I will say that now that we have the DVDs and Netflix, getting that tape caught in a VCR, that could have died a very quick and painless death right there.
I'm fine. We got behind. It's awesome.
But no, I did a little bit of stalking on your Instagram just a little bit ago to see, okay, how many kids does she have? Man, what a cute little bunch of kids that you got going there.
Oh, thank you. The youngest, how many do you have, Jake?
We are up to 3 now as well.
Okay, love it. So you're outnumbered.
Very much so.
It's so fun. We are, we're so grateful. We got a girl and 2 boys, 8, 5, 2.5. Man, it is full. It's not boring. We're, you know, our third is our like little joy tornado too. So he's just keeps us on our toes. He keeps us active. It's fun. And we've did some touring. Well, not touring, but we because that went away all after last year for a second. But we did this commercial for the state of Tennessee with Tennessee Tourism, where they asked if we would be willing to go in an Airstream all over the state of Tennessee to kind of show that you could still travel, even in the midst of COVID, you could travel safely, wear a mask, camp outside. And there's so many beautiful places that are free, pretty much free, close to free, to park your camper or go set up a tent and get out and enjoy and explore, even in the midst of COVID. And so that was an absolute blast and a hoot, because we had a 20-person film crew. We got tested for COVID every 2 days. 20-person film crew, all masked up, going all over the state. And we were like, well, y'all are getting the good, bad, and the ugly. But it was so much fun to get after making memories and visiting places with them. It was good. We're grateful.
That's the thing that you kind of really take for granted when you live in a place like that, where, like in Wyoming, there's that kind of stuff everywhere for us. You know, the mountains or... Now, personally, I'm not a huge fan of camping, because why would you go out in a tent where you have a nice comfy bed? Yeah, that's just not...
You could go on a hike, on a walk outside.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, we grew up... what was it? Well, my wife grew up right at the base of a mountain, and I grew up about 30 minutes from what they call Wind River Canyon. Gorgeous, gorgeous area. Wow. Sinks Canyon. They have a spot where the water goes under the rocks and then comes out. Just gorgeous, gorgeous countryside. And that was just like every day for me.
You're just like, average. Yeah. Like, meanwhile, everybody else's head is exploding when they see it. That's awesome.
There were literally people that flew in from all around the country just to come to the Sinks Canyon, to this Wind River Canyon, and hike. There's a National Outdoor Leadership School, is what it was called, NOLS, and people would fly in from everywhere to go, and it was nothing for me. A buddy of mine, it was hilarious. We were going up somewhere. There's all these people with the backpacks and the hiking boots and all that. We're in shorts and a t-shirt, sneakers, going straight up the mountain, not even going across the trails. Like,
Casual. I just went to Wyoming. I just went to, Jackson Hole, Grand Teton National Park, Yellowstone. And it was, I've never been before. It was wildly incredible.
Yeah. And like in Tennessee, I've been to Memphis like for 2 seconds, and Nashville for 2 seconds too. I mean, you only catch these little glimpses of that. You don't realize what's all around you, and you really take it for granted sometimes. It's just crazy what is around you that you don't even see a lot of times.
Just take the time to notice it. Yeah, you know, I just had my little girl redo my voicemail, like, for my phone. She got on there and she was like, hey, this is my mom's phone. Her name's Ellie Holcomb. And will you please tell her the most beautiful thing that you've seen today? Goodbye. God. And I don't answer my phone anymore, because even like my dentist called to just remind me, I had like an annual teeth cleaning, and they were like, your annual appointment is this day, and the most beautiful thing I've seen today is, and it has been, I think when you just take the time to look for beauty, it really is, it's all around us. And so I think that was one of the gifts of last year. I know there were so many hard things about last year, but one of the gifts was kind of slowing down enough to notice the beauty that's all around us.
Aren't these kids, like, they make you go crazy, but then the next step, they just do something like that, and you're just like, whose kid are you? Like, what's going on here?
You come from? I love you. That was amazing. Yeah, it's wonderful. I'm grateful for them.
Our 10-year-old is a girl. We have two girls and a boy, and the boy is the last one that rounded us out here. Our house was part of the snowmageddon that came through Dallas. Was that 3 months ago now? We got hit, and you know, as people were coming through our house, we didn't even prompt this. She was making cards for people. You know, thanks for helping take care of our house. Our insurance adjuster was coming through, and she made her this little ladybug piece of paper thing, card thing. Luckily, she gave it to her after everything was all said and done, because, I mean, we don't want to be like we're bribing her to give us more for our house or whatever, but.
Right. That's so sweet, though. It is. And you start to see just the little, I don't know, the little people that God made them to be. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I'm always in amazement of how she does that kind of stuff. And Like, we didn't prompt her to do that. That was just something she came out. And I'm like, what the heck are you doing, kid?
Cool. That's in you. That's beautiful. I love it.
Oh, maybe that's awesome. Help, but go, kid.
That's awesome, man.
I think that kind of leads into this album that you got coming out here before too long with Canyons, is just talking about seeing the good that comes through, even though everything looks crazy, terrible. The joy seems to be sucked out of the room. There's still so much there that, like you were saying, you can see the beauty that comes from it, or there's that peace, that joy that comes from God that is still there. It doesn't matter what's coming through. So I think that's a great segue to start talking about that album.
About the record. Yeah. So I, you know, last year was crazy for all of us. March 3rd of 2020, an EF4 tornado hit Nashville and tore right through our neighborhood. And I mean, just so much devastation. And the wake of that, so much rebuilding and beauty and community. Like, you could eat like a queen or king in our neighborhood. We have a lot of good restaurants. And so everybody was bringing out pastries, coffee, pasta, barbecue. It was, people had, you know, it's Nashville. So there's all the people playing in the front yard and on their porch. And it was just beautiful. Within a week later, it almost felt like community, hope, rebuilding all got quarantined because it was COVID safer at home, and went into this year of political tension, racial tension and division, and so much collective sorrow and loss, and on all levels for all people. And I just was like, man, this is wild. So in the midst of all of this, I went to the Grand Canyon for the first time in my life. I had never been, when the numbers were lower last summer. And we camped on the Northern Rim. We went down into the canyon, rafted on the river, camped on the river banks, and then rafted out. And I will never forget it. In the midst of all of this, our guide was saying that the canyon walls, I love that you were mentioning the canyon in your neighborhood where you grew up earlier, but he was just saying that canyon walls tell a story. And it's really just a story of like disaster upon disaster, you know, like, okay, a landslide, a volcano, a mudslide, a drought. And you can see, he's like showing us like, this is what this is. And then there's this huge divide, and it feels like we've been more divided than ever before, even within the church sometimes. And so I was looking at those canyon walls and I was just like, man, this looks like a picture of what our hearts look like, especially after this crazy chaotic year. And I think more than ever, I think all of us know that to be human is to be broken. Like, it comes with the territory of being alive. And we've all, after this last year, know especially what it's like to have your heart kind of split wide open like a canyon. But there in the deepest part of the canyon, as it turns out, is a river running through. And I just all of a sudden had this realization, like, there is a current of God's love that runs deeper than our deepest sorrow, ache, or pain, and that will carry us when it feels like we can't carry on any longer. That's what I've encountered that in my own story personally, as I've visited places of pain and wounds from the past. I encountered the presence and the nearness and the empathy of God. And all of a sudden, when I went to the Grand Canyon, it was like the gospel went from like a raindrop to, oh, no, this is the whole ocean. Like, water always moves to the lowest place. You watch a waterfall, it goes to the lowest place. In a flood, water always moves to the lowest place in your house. And as it turns out, so does God. He is always moving to the lowest place and will carry us and bring refreshment and hope, even in the midst of, you know, the dark nights of the soul. And so I could not shake that image. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh my goodness, even in a valley place, even in a pit of a canyon, we have a reason to sing because of Jesus. We can know that our suffering, whatever it is that's brought us down to that pit, it does not get the final word, because ultimately love beats death. And if it's not okay, then it's not the end. And so I am just so grateful for that. And so my hope for the record is that it would kind of echo from the deepest valleys to the highest mountains to sort of remind every beating human heart that they are beloved, that they have a place where they belong, and that the suffering never gets the final word.
The other imagery with the canyon, I think, you know, kind of ties that, maybe just diving a little bit deeper in that, is in this river, the water cuts through the canyon. Like you're saying, every layer has a story to tell. And ultimately, when you look at the Grand Canyon, like I've never been there myself, but I see the pictures are pretty and all that. But yeah. You look at that, if that water was not running through that canyon, then that would never have been that way. You would never see that picture, that landscape would not be there.
That's exactly right, Jake. I mean, and in a sense, when you learn to sing, when you sing, if you've ever been in a canyon or a valley and you sing, actually your voice echoes off of all of those broken pieces. And so it's actually like this crazy thing. I always thought that like the gospel is all about me being good and loving God and loving other people enough. And I'm like, I don't know, the gospel is about being held and loved when you are falling apart and experiencing peace in a place that doesn't make any sense to have peace in the midst of. And so actually it's when we learn to sing in those valley places, when we're held in the midst of breaking, that then your voice echoes off of all of those broken pieces of your story that you thought were the worst parts, become the parts that really exhibit the power and the beauty of love and of God's love for us. And so you're just right. It wouldn't be so beautiful and so breathtaking if it wasn't cut down like all of that. And so the fact that there's that water in the midst of it is just like, oh, it's such a gift. And I think sometimes, I don't know about you, it was so hot in August when we went. I don't recommend going to the Grand Canyon in August. It was 110 degrees, but that river water was 50 degrees. And so there's this sense, and it feels hot in our culture right now. I just like heat. It's like cancel culture. It's strangers hating strangers on the internet. It's like, what are we even doing? This is like not what we're called to as believers for sure. And it feels divided. But here we have this cool, living, flowing water that really reminds us that we all belong, that we can all be carried and refreshed, even in the desert places. And then also that I think reminds us that we belong to each other. Like we get to be those little molecules of water that join up with this current of living water that flows like streams in the wasteland, that moves to the lowest places in other people's stories and brings refreshment and life with the comfort and refreshment and life that we ourselves have received from the ultimate life giver, Jesus. Which is so cool to me. But half the time I'm in the bit of the canyon, you're like, I don't want to get that cold water. You're like hanging on to the walls. You're like, do you see how bad it is down here, God? And it's like, no, just, I think there is a certain sense of letting go and of just breathing in our broken places of grieving and allowing God's love to meet us and hold us and carry us there. And that was important. It's hard. It's hard to go down into the valley places. It's hard to go down to the places of brokenness in your own story. And in the story of our country with race, in the story of everything that we all lived through last year, it's hard to kind of dwell or spend time in those places. But as it turns out, love is available, like hidden underground reservoirs of peace and life and hope. It is always there if we'll let it carry us in those places. So
I think it's a lot of too what you focus on, because I mean, that brokenness, that tells the story. We're so focused on the pretty picture, and we don't really allow ourselves to go through some of that. We feel bad when we have to go through some of this stuff. Like it's, we focus on just that pain and what's happening.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that's just what you're talking about, the choice to just really see like the water, being close to the water, kind of the imagery that you're giving there. Like I tell the story for our last, what was it 3-4 months now? Not, you know, just kind of the pity story, but just kind of that focus, because well, in the last 3 months, our third one was due January 20th, give or take, and he was a week late, and my mother-in-law was here. It was kind of coming up to the edge of her visit, so my wife was starting to freak and panic that she was going to have to do this without her mom, which in turn freaked me out, if I'm honest. So when we had our first kid, like, I tried to comfort her, I tried to be there and all that. Her mom took, like, a 10-minute break, and it was the worst 10 minutes of her whole labor, I'm pretty sure. Like, I'm trying, I'm failing terribly. She's just like, just go. Where's my mom? Like, there's all those fears coming. And then when our little boy was born, he dropped 2 or 3 pounds. So well over that 10% of his body weight that he was supposed to. So we had to spend a night in the ER with him because, or actually it wasn't the ER, he was admitted to the hospital because he wasn't gaining weight like he should have. And I had to physically drive away from the hospital with my wife staying there overnight. And then it was like a week after that Snowmageddon hit here. We lost power for about 36 hours, which was minor in comparison to some of our friends. You know, some of our friends were without power for a week.
Which is no small thing. You don't realize how dependent you are on power till you lose it. Because we lost it for a week after the tornado, and I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah, hard on hard on hard.
Yeah, and cold. And then, you know, then our house got hit with water damage through all of that. You know, so then we're trying to figure out how to do that and how to work through all that. You know, luckily we have some really great family around here that's just been amazing. Just seeing the love that's poured out. You know, I'm the kind of guy who like hates accepting help. I'll bring in help, I'll do whatever, but I hate accepting the help.
Totally. So
that kicked me in the hiney to just have to accept the help and just to really let people love on us. My aunt and uncle took us in, you know, while our house is technically livable, but not really, you know, not practically livable.
Yeah, that's right.
And it took me probably like 2-3 weeks after that. Because for me, you know, I just kind of carried on, you know, life is normal. It's like, you know, we just carry on until somebody told me, like, man, you guys have been through a lot in the last month. And you kind of sit and think, and it's just like, really? We have.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's the focus. Like, you know, it wasn't focused on what we were doing and what was going on and what we're going through. It's focusing on where are we at, loving on the babies, you know, just spending the time.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that, you know, we can sit at the top of, you know, the canyon, look in, like, see the danger, see all the stuff that happened, and or we can just sit in the middle of the beauty and sit by the cool water in 110 degree Arizona weather.
Yeah.
I think it really matters what we focus on.
I do too. And I think my hope for the songs in this record is that it would kind of turn up the volume on the beauty of God's love and the song that he sings over every single beating human heart and the way that he meets us, that we're beloved even in our most broken places. And that song would kind of echo from the valleys to the mountains, that he's with us. He is a God who's with us, and that he carries us through the seasons where it's like, woo, this is a lot. It's like, well, I've been through a lot. And as it turns out, there's Emmanuel, God with us. He's been near, even in the midst of the things that are all going wrong and not according to plan. So grateful for that. Grateful that our suffering doesn't have the final word.
Absolutely. I want to touch a little bit on the Faithful Project. We had a few episodes with some of the gals from the Faithful Project here. Just want to hear a little bit from you. You got to go on the Today Show to sing one of the songs with Amy Grant. Seems like you've had a blast with the whole Faithful Project.
It's been an absolute joy. And Amy says it like this. That project, the way that I would describe it is, Amy says that there's a way to listen to somebody's story in such a way that you can sing their life back to them in a song. And I felt like what we got to do with that group of women is circle up and listen to each other's stories of God and sing those back to each other. And then listen to the stories of women throughout scripture. Some of whom, their lives are crazy. Some of them only had two lines written about their whole life in scripture. And we got to lean in and listen to those stories and sing the story of God's faithfulness to them. And I think in turn, we all felt very seen and known and carried in a way that some of us, and healed in a way that some of us didn't even realize that we needed. As it turns out, God's been seeing women even in a culture and in a time when women weren't very valued or lifted up or listened to or noticed. And so they were often pushed to the kind of outskirts. And so there's just story after story of Jesus throughout scripture. And then with Jesus, especially seeing women and drawing them into the story of God. And man, what an honor that we all get invited into this circle, this epic kind of arc of the story of God's love and of a kingdom that's coming. We get to be a part of something that's so much bigger than ourselves. And that is what that project felt like.
And just hearing the stories, we heard three different viewpoints. You know, we're hearing the fourth now here. It's just incredible to me to just see what all happened through that project. And like I said, that's only four out of how many people that were involved with that.
I mean, yeah, I think there were 27 of us, authors and songwriters. So it was pretty special. And to create out of that context of community and an authentic community, we kind of just went deep water real fast. and I'm deeply grateful. So many new friendships were forged and old friendships strengthened. And I love the sound of community that was birthed out of that room.
So incredible. Well, we just want to thank you for taking the time to hang out with us here for a while. Man, this album is just incredible. I can't wait for it to come out. We already have a few singles out now.
And yes,
that's right. Maybe by the time people listen to this episode, it'll be out and they'll be like, wait, is it still coming out? No.
Is it still coming out? No, it's already out. Yeah, it releases June 25th. The whole record does. So I'm excited. I hope the songs sound like, I don't know. I keep picturing myself with a boombox on my shoulder, like turning up this song of love that gets singing over everybody. I'm like, did you hear this? This is so good. So
they have new boomboxes that are new MP3 players that sound like that look like boomboxes. So.
Yeah, that's what I need to get. That's what I need to get. As it turns out, we're the object of God's affection. Did you know? It's good. So. I love it. Good news.
All right. Well, just thank you so much, Ellie.
Thank you, Jake. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks for hanging out with us for this episode of the NRT Now podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks to Neon Feather for providing our theme music. Make sure to check out newreleasetoday.com and our socials for more great content. See you next episode.